Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
Yeah, Mike, a former aide to President Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, told Congress, Arizona Congressman Andy Biggs, asked Trump for a pardon in relation to January 6th. This morning, you asked Biggs if that's true.
It's not true. I did not ask President Trump for a pardon. I didn't ask anybody for a pardon. But, I mean, because that's crazy. I had access to President Trump and I had access to his chief of staff. I don't even know who Cassidy was. I had actually called somebody up after that testimony and say, who is this person? The reality is that was untrue. Is just as untrue as her testimony yesterday, which is falling apart.
Yeah, her name is Cassidy Hutchinson. And Mike, is it? Do you believe her account or Congressman Biggs?
Well, I can't believe her account anywhere in a court because it's all hearsay. This is what she was saying was secondhand information for much of her testimony. These were not things that she witnessed. These were things that she was told. That never flies in a court of law. It never does. That's rumor. That is hearsay evidence. You can't go into a courtroom and say, well, you know, my neighbor, plays tennis with a lady that's married to a Secret Service agent that told her you can't do those kinds of things. And you certainly can't put them out there as evidence. This is the biggest reason why I don't like what's going on in this hearing. I believe everybody should be held accountable. If Donald Trump broke the law, then charge him with a crime, give him a defense attorney, and try him for a crime. This right now is a hearing that's one-sided. The only people that are being brought into testify are people that don't like Donald Trump or that say that they have evidence that he did the wrong thing. There is no cross-examination. There are no defense witnesses. This is not a trial. This is an inquisition. And the problem with that is the only thing I think this motivates is further division among us. And I think people that believe that Donald Trump committed a crime are the ones that should be the angriest because this is a one-sided political witch hunt. It doesn't get you the answers and it doesn't convince people like me. And I'm convincible that somebody broke the law and did the wrong thing. This is a one-sided political witch hunt in an election year, period.
Matt Salmon stepped down as a candidate for governor of Arizona yesterday and then told you a little while ago.
I'm going to work my tail off to get Karen Taylor Robeson elected as governor of Arizona because I actually believe that, you know, with all the challenges that we have as a state, that we got to have somebody that actually has a track record of getting things done.
So will Robeson or Carrie Lake benefit most from Salmon's endorsement?
Well, short term, and we're going to talk about this in more detail at 11:35. Short term, it looks like from the pollsters, Mike Noble and OH Predictive Insights is saying that it looks as if a lot of these voters are going to go the way of Carrie Lake, that they align themselves politically more with Carrie Lake than they do with Karen Robeson, so she may see a bump in all of this. But I think long term, as everybody else believes, I think it's going to benefit Karen Taylor Robeson in the long run. You are listening to Did You Hear This? We do it every day at this time to catch you up on the headlines.
Well, you talked to a lot of people today, Mike, and earlier you asked Maricopa County or interim Maricopa County Attorney Rachel Mitchell if her office is headed in the right directions since she was appointed back in April.
Yes, absolutely. It's going very well. We have been working to clear up a number of different types of backlogs. One of those backlogs was cases that had been filed but were not being fed into the system because of not wanting to overwhelm the court system.
Now, Mitchell's opponent, Julie Gunigal, told you she hasn't seen any evidence that things are getting better there. But really, Mike, was there any other direction the office could have been going, could be going, but up right now, considering where it was?
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. And I'm not saying this is happening, but it's possible to just continue with the status quo. If you don't make changes in leadership, which they did, they made a change in leadership at the very top, but there is a leadership team there. What is different with the leadership team? Not necessarily in personnel, but in practice. How are they reestablishing and reaffirming the relationships with law enforcement? How are they giving the public confidence that cases are being tried and that people that need to be off the streets are being prosecuted? Those are the questions that need to be answered, and I don't have the answer to that question, but we need to see real numbers. How many cases have been reduced? How many of these things? Why are they better? Give us the numbers on what's better.
And the last story is a tragic one. Yavapai County Sheriff Deputy Sergeant Richard Lopez shot and killed yesterday during a shooting with a suspect. Here is Sheriff David Rhodes.
The violence against law enforcement, we are seeing it escalate everywhere, and it has got to stop. These are community services. These are people that are out there serving the community, protecting life, liberty, and property, and they do not deserve this.
Mike, what's the key to stopping the assault on law enforcement?
There's got to be a change. First of all, there's got to be punishment. We've got to go back to having more police officers on the street to stop crimes before they happen. We've got to be more proactive. There is strength in numbers, and there has to be an attitude shift from the public itself. And it starts with leadership. It starts with people on city councils, county boards, state legislatures. There has to be leadership change in the attitude toward policing. The Defund the Police movement has been an abysmal failure everywhere it's been tried. And so we need to get rid of that idea. We need to start making sure people respect the job of law enforcement. There are going to be individuals that commit crimes or do the wrong thing or make mistakes. There's no doubt that's going to happen. But as a profession, as a vocation, we have got to stop demonizing these men and women. That's the first step. And then second thing we have to do is make sure if you are a violent criminal, you stay locked up a lot longer. There is a difference between people serving sentences for nonviolent crimes that probably don't need to be in prison for very long or as long as they have been. But if you're violent in our society, if you've shown a propensity to act out violently, we need to lock those people up.